Well, hey everyone. You know, one of the things that has changed in the way we do our services this past year is that we don't regularly take up an offering or the communication cards. We still encourage you to send in questions or comments or requests. You can do that by email. You can do it telling one of the hosts or by sending us a text at 703-971-4673. And in giving, we encourage everyone to continue to be faithful in giving. You can send in checks or you can do it online. That's how Becky and I do it, and it's worked really well. So I just wanted to say that because we don't regularly mention it. You know, we've been in this series where we're looking at core values that really should shape us as followers of Christ. And we've worded these specifically for New Hope, but these core values are really for everyone that's a follower of Christ. They're not unique to us. I want to read you a passage. It's one of my favorites, and it just kind of describes the life of someone that's a follower of Jesus. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." You know, when we accepted Jesus, it's recognizing that we were in need, that we needed forgiveness, we needed his help. And it's saying that with that same kind of mindset or attitude, you need to continue to follow him. It says, "Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." The normal kind of healthy relationship that God wants us to have with him is one where we're growing, where we're developing, we're becoming more and more like his son, Jesus. And this is just natural and healthy. So change in this case is really, it's really, really good and it's healthy. And the lack of change creates a problem. So our core value at New Hope is that growing people change. You know, there's some people that think that just time in is what makes the difference. Some of you work in places where seniority is what determines whether you get promoted or not. And you know, competence should be key in that. The fact that you've been in somewhere a long time may just mean you're old. The evidence that you're really growing is that there's positive, healthy change in our lives. And this is what's important for you and me, and it applies to each of us in our church and everyone in our church. There's none of us exempt from this. Listen to what the Bible says here, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture," which means everything that's written in the Bible, "is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." You know, our goal as followers of Jesus and as a church is not to be PC, not to just fit in with the culture and be politically correct. It's not to be politically correct, culturally correct, but to be biblically correct. And that's not just to take the Bible and use it as a club. It means that I recognize that God has given me guidance on how to live my life. And there will be times when that will be applauded with the culture around me, and other times I'm going to be seen as a pariah. The issue is not what do others think about me. The issue is what does God think? And so as a follower of Jesus, I want to grow in my faith and I want to see God-honoring changes happening in my life. And so the Bible is our friend. It is the operator's manual for our life. But there is a serious danger to avoid when it comes to the Bible. And you will see this over time. Some of us have experienced it. And that is to be familiar with it, but not let it change us. Listen to what James says. He goes, "Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Familiarity with what the Bible teaches without doing anything, without acting on it, leads to dullness and at worst, just utter arrogance and self-deception and hypocrisy." God has given us the Bible. And it's not just there to be something that's got interesting facts and history, not just insights about the world. It is the owner's manual for my life and yours. It's absolutely essential. And if I want to honor God, if I want to be the person he intended me to be, if I'm going to grow and, like the Bible says, have my roots deep in Christ, I've got to become very familiar with what the Bible says. And I need to be regularly applying it in my life. So here's a question for all of us, and I don't expect you to answer it now. You may be in your living room and it could be uncomfortable, but when has reading your Bible, reading it and understanding it, led you to make a significant change in your life, a change in a value or an attitude or a behavior? It's an important question for you and I to ask, because if I can't look back and see something that has changed, if I can't see some kind of impact of my reading of the Bible and studying it, then there's something stunting my growth. And so what I want to do today is I want to walk through just a way to go beyond just listening, but actually applying God's word in my life and yours. This is what God intends. He wants us to grow. And that growth means that we will be changing in a positive direction. So follow with me. I'm using the acrostic listen. It may not be that creative to you. It helps me. But follow with me if you would. The first is the L. And the L in listen stands for learn. That means I need to read the Bible with an open mind and a teachable heart. I need to read, as I read my Bible, I need to look for things, values, principles, patterns of relating. I need to look to the Bible and see what are those things that God says are really good and valuable to hold on to, and what things to stay away from. I need to do an examination with the idea of applying it, but it starts with learning. Like in New Hope, we're doing our Bible reading plan this year. We're going through the first four books of the New Testament, which are the biographies of Jesus' life. We're in Matthew right now. And as we walk through it, and we're doing this in our prayer night where we talk about what we're learning and applying, and then we pray about it. What does Jesus say? What does he say is really important? What does he say about people, about life, about sin, about things that are good, things that are not good? What is it that Jesus likes or doesn't like? How does he treat people? How does he treat people of all different kinds, the wealthy and the poor, the people that are relatively healthy and those that are very, very sick? How does he treat the outcasts? How does he treat those that are doing illegal things or taking advantage of others? How does he treat the outcasts? How does he treat those that are hypocrites? How does he treat different races and backgrounds? All this is important. I learn by seeing how Jesus did, and then I ask myself some questions. So what does that say about me? Learning is the first step, and it's absolutely the most critical, because remember this, the Bible for you and me is essential. It is the operating system that God designed us to live with as followers. And if our operating system is buggy, and we don't debug it, there's going to be serious problems. So regular Bible study, Bible reading, and learning from it is what really helps. That's essential to begin to grow. So that's the L, learn. The I is to inspect yourself. This is my personal responsibility and yours for us to look at our lives. We're going to look at it individually. It should be done with churches too, but we'll get into that in a little bit. The best way I can illustrate that is recently I've gone to several medical specialists, and I've been getting all kind of checkups. My dad had macular degeneration in his eyes, so I saw an eye doctor. I've been to a dermatologist. I've seen all different kind of doctors. And what they do is they take all kind of measurements and samples. They do kind of all kind of testing, and they compare what they're getting from me with benchmarks of what would be healthy. What are the ranges of health? And it could be cholesterol, could be all kinds of things. But the idea is I might feel really fine, and I do. I generally feel good. But if I'm just going by my feeling, I could be masking something that's really dangerous that I need to address. So I need to inspect myself. And the Bible helps me do that. Effective Bible study is allows me to regularly inspect my attitudes, my values, my beliefs, my behaviors in light of God's word. God's word is the benchmark, and where I am, what I'm doing and all that, I take that and evaluate, how am I doing here? And I'll tell you what's helped me the most, and it is really uncomfortable, and that is asking some people around me what they see. I married well. I have a wife that when I ask her to be honest with me, she will be. I've got a great staff, and there are times when I'll say, what do you see? How am I doing here? And the reason I know they'll tell me the truth is they don't always tell me what I want to hear. They'll tell me things that I really need to take a hard look at. You know, if we're not willing to inspect, there's an old business adage. It's not what's expected that gets done, but what's inspected. And in our lives, we need to inspect how we're doing along the way on a regular basis. It is super valuable. It is super uncomfortable at times, especially to invite others in. But man, is it helpful. And at the end of the day, the truth is our friend. So let's go to the S in the word listen. And that stands for strengthen. Strengthen the good things you're already doing. You know, it's funny. Sometimes I think people get this idea that Bible study or reading my Bible, it should always feel bad and be negative. You know, it's really quite the opposite. There are times when I'll read through my Bible, I'll see some things God says, and I'll look back, I say, wait, you know, I've really changed. I used to be this way, and there's been some real progress. That's another thing others can point out to us too, is say, you know what, you've really grown in this over the past year, especially people that know us well. It's really, really encouraging. Couple of examples. I had a friend recently that we were talking, and they said, you know, I've just recognized recently when I've been reading about what God says about how I'm to relate to material things and money, said, you know, I really see that God has helped me be free from just having to grab hold of everything I have, and I've become a lot more generous in my giving to the church, giving to help others. I'm less materialistic than I was. He was just celebrating that God had helped him build some changes in his life. Another friend was just talking about how much they've seen that they've become more patient with family members and others at their work, and that they recognize this is something God's been doing in their life. So, you know, when I read my Bible and study it, I'm going to come along some things along to some things that are going to really be encouraging. Bible study that is good and genuine and real will highlight good changes that have happened and encourage us and help us to keep after it. The T in the word listen says we need to turn away from anything that the Bible says is unhealthy or wrong. There are times we're going to come across some important truths that highlight areas in our life that are weaknesses or temptations that we slide into or just outright sin. And instead of ignoring those things, we need to know that God points this out because he wants us to be healthy and he is ready to help us address it. Again, let's say I go to the doctor and I come up with some of my numbers aren't good. Well, the doctor's there to try to help me address it. If I ignore it or if I stay away, that's not going to help me a bit. Bible studies the same way. There will be times when I'm going to come across something that is an attitude or a habit or a perspective or a value that is in my life that is in direct contrast with what God wants me to have. And rather than making an excuse to minimize or hide, what God is going to encourage me to do is to admit it and to address it. We see this in a corporate manner that happened in the early church. If you look at Acts chapter 7, the early church, after Jesus was resurrected, it was growing like crazy. I mean, they had thousands of people coming. And there were some needs that had shown up where they needed to have distribution of food. There were a variety of reasons for it. I won't get into that now. But there was some kind of built-in kind of a racial mindset there that was leading to an unjust attitude towards some. And so the food distribution, there were some being left out. And to deal with this, the early church leaders, they could have just said, you know, come on, we don't want to talk about that. That's going to be negative PR for us. But instead, what they did is they said, we really need to address this. This inequity, this injustice can't continue. And so they appointed some leaders to address it. Look, in my life, the life of our church, we're going to come across things along the way that are out of line, that are wrong, that need to be addressed. And the sooner we do it, the better. So regular Bible study, Bible reading is going to point out some things to me that I need to turn away from. And turning away from what is unhealthy or wrong, that's part of it, but I need to exchange what's wrong with what God says is good. And I can't leave a vacuum, or what's going to happen is eventually I'll go back to what I was doing and maybe even worse. Let me see if I can illustrate this with a story in New Hope's life. I'm just going to make up a name because I haven't asked this guy for permission. Most of you don't know him. He's not around. They have moved not long after we started the church. But, well, actually, I guess 2 years after we started the church. But anyway, when we started New Hope, we had a core group or a launch team of 19 adults. We lived, the church was on a shoestring budget. I didn't draw any salary from the church for the first 2 years. But we took everything we had, we were putting it into ministry and resources. And so of the 19, probably the person with the best job and the greatest capacity to give was, I'll just call him Bob. And I was great. It was great to have a couple of people on the team that made some money, and especially having Bob there. He was also an accomplished singer. He had traveled with his singing throughout Europe. He had kind of an operatic type of voice. He was really, really trained. Here's the problem. That wasn't the kind of music we were going to use in our church. He could do the opera kind of stuff, and he could do some kind of old style Christian hymns and all, which were fine, but the people we were trying to reach unchurched people, and they were people that they weren't familiar with those songs, and it wasn't a style they were accustomed to. It was just not going to fit who we were trying to go after. And so for me, here was the challenge is, boy, I don't want to say anything to offend Bob, because, you know, he's a pretty big giver in our church, and I don't want him upset. I'd hate to lose one of our key families, probably he and his wife. I mean, probably the risk in my mind would, man, we might lose both of them. But see, that for me, I had to turn away from this idea that I need to be really careful what people think of me. It's not that you shouldn't care what others think, but we should care more about what God thinks. And he had given us a mission to accomplish. And while Bob was a great singer, that style of music wasn't going to fit with us. So I prayed about it, and we hadn't even started the church yet. We were in the formation phase. We were going to launch in just about 2 months from the time I met Bob for lunch. And I said, Bob, I'm really glad you're part of our team. I've really enjoyed getting to know you and your bride, I said, but I need you to understand something going forward, is that we will not be using the kind of music that you're comfortable with. We're going to be going a different route as far as our music and songs. I'd love you to be a part of it, but I just need you to know that up front. I don't want you to step in and be utterly disappointed or deceived. It was hard for me to do it because I realized that there was a good chance we were going to lose a key person on our team. But it was the right thing to do, to be honest and upfront. On his part, he listened to me. I could tell he was disappointed because he had all kind of accompaniment tapes for all these things that he did. That was another thing, is our plan was to use live music. But to his credit, he prayed about it, he thought about it, and he came back and said, you know what? I want to be a part of what we're doing here. I will learn the new kind of music, the new kind of songs, because I really do want to be a part of what God's doing here. For he and I both, there were some adjustments we needed to make. Part of what I had to do was to confront the concern about what he would think and the fear of what would happen if we lost funding. And for him, it was to give up his comfort to do something bigger. And I'm going to tell you, this should be normal for you and me, where we're willing to see areas that we need to grow in and then step into it, not run away from it. And I want to tell you, over the years, we've had many of these opportunities come this way, individually, with our staff, and as our church. I want to tell you that anything less than this is just not God honoring. And we've got work to do, and we need to continue to do that work. So let me shift gears for a minute. I want to give you, I'm going to announce something. I mentioned this earlier, I had an announcement to make. And this being Black History Month, it's a perfect springboard for this announcement. Three plus years ago, New Hope, we recognized that we were racially diverse as a church. More so than a lot of churches we know, where there are others that are more than we are. But again, we're in a unique position. We have a wide variety of backgrounds in our church, and as a diverse church, we thought we need to figure out how to take this and how to build strong understanding and unity, and figure out how it is that we can work best together. There are some differences that we have. There are different tastes, different ideas, and we need to figure out how do we work on this together. And by the way, we live in a nation that's not doing a good job of this at all. And so we need to figure out how to do it. And if we do it well, then we might have something to offer a world that's in disarray. Our goal has never been to be PC. And we've been accused of all kinds of things over time. Back when we did Be the Bridge 3.5 years ago, we had people saying we were doing this as a political statement. We were either pandering to look like we were cool, or making some kind of statements against or for. And it was a lot of stuff that was going on. Here's the deal. We had a mission at New Hope to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We want to share the good news about Jesus to everyone we can. And we want them to cross the line of faith and become part of His church family. And this means all people, not just some people, not just people like me. And this all means we got to figure out, how does that look? How does it work? And trust me, we better do the homework now. In heaven, it's going to be such a wide variety of people in heaven. Every kind of color you can think of, every kind of background, ethnicity. God loves diversity. And so we need to figure out, in His name, how do we do this well? Not take for granted that we have a wide variety of people coming to figure out how do we build a healthy community? How do we do this in a way where there's honor and respect? So we've been working at this. We started this 3.5 years ago with Be the Bridge. We've been working at it since then. And then this past fall, had a strong sense that we need to be more deliberate. So I worked with our executive team, and we pulled together a team to help us look at how are we doing. Back to this acrostic of listen, how are we doing an inspection? How are we doing as a church with our recognizing and valuing and appreciating all people, valuing and appreciating all people in our church? And so we put together this team, not to critique so much, but just to evaluate how are we doing. And can we do better? What are some areas that we could grow in? So to do this, a friend of mine that I met for the past few years, Craig Harwood. Craig recently retired VP of Human Resources at Coca-Cola. He's worked internationally, and he's been a key figure in them working through this idea of diversity in a healthy kind of way. He's a solid follower of Christ, and I've just got tons of respect for him. We asked him to consult with us, and then we pulled together a team. There's Kim Feld and David Schleyer with me. We're the executive team at New Hope. And then we asked some people that have been really, really involved in Be the Bridge and have been key players for us as we walk through and try to understand all this. Mike Thayer, Elaine Ward, John Flowers, and Brandon Pendleton. And we've been working together on this now. It's a perfect time to announce it. We don't have anything to tell you yet, except we've just been trying to do a deep dive into New Hope. How are we doing? What can we do better? What are things to strengthen? Are there things we need to change and adjust? Because we want to be a church that when God sees us, when He evaluates, He goes, "Well done. I'm proud of you." The purpose of our church is to help all people become fully devoted followers, and we need to evaluate along the way. How are we doing? What are we doing well? Let's hold on to that. What can we do better? Let's strengthen that. And we're going to continue. We are not going to give up. As long as I am pastor here at New Hope. And let me just say this real quick. This is a personal note, but I had someone recently say that they thought that my speaking about, in this case, racial diversity, and they picked a couple of other things, they said, probably that I was doing that because I was getting pressure. If there were some people that were really putting the squeeze on me to do this, and so I was kind of reluctantly giving into it. Look, there are a lot of ways that I fail. There are a lot of things that I'm not the greatest leader in the world. I know that. But no one is pushing me here, except what I believe is God's urging by His Holy Spirit to do the absolute best job we can to love Him and to love our neighbor. I am fully behind this, and there are going to be some people that think this whole racial diversity thing and all that, it's just a whole lot of smoke and a waste of time. If that's what you believe, you're welcome to believe it, but you will not be comfortable here at New Hope. We are going to take this thing about loving all people the way Jesus wants us to, the way He modeled for us. We're taking that very seriously. And we're not jumping again on political bandwagons for this. We're not trying to fit in. We're just trying to say, what does the Bible say? And then how can we live this out honorably and respectfully? So let me just tell you this, that this is the way we're heading. I'm grateful that we have a diverse church, but I don't want to miss the opportunities that we have to do it really, really well. I don't want anyone to feel second class at New Hope. And when you invite your friends and your neighbors, and the reason we're diverse is because you've been doing that. You've been inviting friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates. We want you to continue to do that. And we want to learn together, how can we build a healthy, growing, strong community here where people know Jesus, they love each other, and we love our neighbors. And look, that's great preparation for heaven, because it's going to be a kaleidoscope. Let me close with this. Recently, I had an email exchange with someone that's been a part of New Hope for a good while, and someone I have a lot of respect for. We hold essentials in common, but there are some ways that we differ. In this case, she was bringing up, and you don't know who this is, and I'm not going to tell you, so please don't try to guess, but just raising some questions and respectfully and asking the questions in a good way. And we discussed a couple things we differ in. And it was very good. I thought it was very helpful. And at the end of my last email, I just said, you know, I know we see some of these things differently, but it's not something that needs to divide us. And I just said at the end, I signed off, I said, I'm still a work in progress. And she responded back and a couple of things. And then at the very end of hers, I'm still a work in progress too. That's what we are. None of us have it all together. We're all learning to follow Jesus. We're all growing, and we need to hang on to the things that are good and the things we need to change. We need to be willing to look at it, adjust, and change. And we do it together. If we do, God will bless us. God will be able to use us. And we will be able to be impact players in a world that is broken, a world that is lost. It'll impact our families. It'll impact our workplace, our neighborhoods. Look, let's not settle for something less. Let's go with everything we have to grow in our faith. And that growth means we're willing to change in whatever God wants us to. Let's not settle for anything less, please. I am grateful that you hung out with me for this long. Let's pray together now.
Lane and I are going to pray us out today. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. Thank you for life. Thank you for having us here in a time such as this. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and focus us, Lord, on growing in you. We realize that growth comes change. We ask your Spirit to help us to accept and receive change as we grow and accept each other, Lord God, remembering that we were all created in your image by you.
We're asking you to bind us together around your love, your word, and Jesus Christ. Keep us center focused. Give us the patience we need with each other. Help us communicate and foster relationships as you did, Lord God. But then with that, Lord, help us to be able to deliver the truth in love. And help us to be able to celebrate together. All of us were created again in your image. And you have made each of us a little different. That's okay. You meant it. You made us. You are the maker. We ask you now to fill us with all your will, wisdom, and knowledge, and understanding.
Lord, as you said in your word, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for that, and we ask that you give us the grace to think about that, to endure it, to figure out what that means for us as we live out life day to day. And we ask, Lord, that you just transform us from the inside out. Lord, you know our hearts. You know those things that we struggle with. And sometimes change is not easy. But Lord, we know that in your strength, not in our own, we can and will overcome. For in you, we live, move, and have our being. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that blessing to be able to live in your spirit and with you, Father. And we ask all of these blessings in your name. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love you,
love you, New Hope.
Yes.